Welcome to the Frontier Banter.
All right, hello everybody. My name is Colonel Derek Baer, the U.S. Army Garrison Commander here at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and I am here with...
Command Sergeant Major Bill Pearson, the Fort Sill Garrison CSM.
And this is the Frontier Banter Podcast, Episode 8. And we are here with a great group of folks, some fellow brigade-level commanders, and if y'all would introduce yourselves...
I'm Colonel Reg White, the 434 Field Artillery Brigade Commander.
Good afternoon. Colonel Jason Ferguson, Commander of Reynolds Army Health Clinics here at Fort Sill.
Colonel Lance Tomlinson, the 428th Field Artillery Brigade Commander here out of Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
All right. And so the great thing about Fort Sill, Oklahoma is we do a lot of training. A lot. So we've got 428 and 434. We have the basic combat training with 434. We turn soldiers into civilians into soldiers the other way around. And then we... You know, if they're in the 13 series or the 14 series with the 30th Air Defense Artillery Brigade, we ship them across the tracks and we train them to be, you know, future field artillery or air defense artillery soldiers. And the other great thing is we have a wonderful hospital with old Jason Ferguson, which is really great to support all this. And then if we get her online, someone who is across the pond, it's going to take us a second. We've got Miss Lourdes Costas with us, who I'm sure will be in and out as she's doing a great mission across the pond. So, Lourdes, if you don't mind introducing yourself, ma'am, please.
Yes, I am Colonel Lourdes Costas. I am the 31st Air Defense Artillery Brigade Commander there at Fort Sill, and currently deployed to a location undisclosed. Performing an air defense mission.
That is awesome. So what we're talking about today is whatever y'all want to talk about. It's fun. You and I have found, and Sergeant Major, I've talked about, my brother and I have talked about this quite a bit, is when you get colonels in the room or seniors in the room, it's just like you're in a high school locker room sometimes. You know, it's just a ton of fun. Everybody's relaxed and having a good time, except for maybe Lance. He looked at me kind of weird. You know,
that's normal.
It's very true. It's very true. So, hey, so what's on y'all's mind? You know, as we look at basic combat training, the AIT, you know, for advanced individual training in the hospital, and then with Lourdes and her team as a Forces Command unit currently deployed, we as a garrison, you know, we support all this, whether it's through the, you know, quality of life, installation readiness, infrastructure management, power projection, you name it. That's what we do to support, but I'd love to hear from y'all, like, what does it mean to you to be here at Fort Sill, and what's the great thing that's happening in y'all's organizations?
So I'll lead off, right? So, Lourdes, you know, thanks again for being here. And you also, you know, guilted Reggie into showing up as well.
Yeah, yeah, you know what? For the group, Reggie almost bowed out, didn't he? Yeah.
I had an office call. Well, I had an office call. Someone so. Across the... Soldiers first, right? No?
We don't, right, we well, don't do and it. Then,
I mean, you know...
And then what did Lourdes... and Lourdes, what did you say?
I mean, I'm deployed and I'm here, so just saying.
ultimate
guilt peer pressure for sure.
What I lead off with that is relationships matter. Yeah. It's the pitch that I give to whether it's the captain's career course, Bullock, or any of the cadre or permanent party in the brigade. It's relationships matter. You know, we can talk about fighting for resources and mission and all those things, but we can't get there by ourselves.
Yeah.
And you know, Reggie and I've been open about our relationship for the past 2 decades, 24 years, and I love him like a brother. You know, Fergalicious and I met, you know, at the, where did we meet? Charlottesville.
Yeah.
Charlottesville.
Solo.
At Solo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've known you forever.
Yeah, and you know, Reg and I know each other either like in person or like, you know, just as we swim through our careers, yeah. And we're in and out.
And then Lourdes and I were at the War College together,
yeah.
And we didn't even know each other really. We would just argue about China. So relationships matter, and we, you know, and Steve Walker just changed command today,
yeah.
And he's a family member. We do this together, and that's what I'll lead off with.
Yeah, and our good friend John Brock, who unfortunately couldn't be here with us today, who is just absolutely crushing it as the 30th Air Defense Artillery Brigade Commander, such your counterpart for air defense, and you know, in our Marine School of Artillery, yes. Renamed. Jared Stoutenborough, and you know, and all of our command sergeant majors, you know,
yeah.
You know, you said relationships matter, and I love it because, you know, there are there are oftentimes at our level, whether it's 05, 06, command sergeant major level, not everybody gets along. But I think it's really great. We all do. You know, whether it's through poker nights, you know, or the fire pits, sitting down there with a, you know, bourbon and cigars, or just doing whatever, like meeting at the runs, whether you're rucking or running. We all support each other, and, you know, your network is your net worth, right? And it's been really great. I appreciate it. Yeah.
I mean, I've been in the Army 25 years now. This is the first installation where I've seen literally every command team this close with each other and just pick up the phone and solve a problem pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I agree with that, too. And to add, and I was kind of weird, I had to turn my camera off, but I will say, you know, being a force comm unit, there in Garrison, it is sometimes a little bit challenging because most of the resources are tailored for the Garrison units or the TRADOC units. But whenever I've needed something, whether it was a fill for a personnel shortage, equipment, something like that, it's too easy to go into our group chat that we have and ask for those things. I never get told no right away. I do get told, though, hey, let me see what I could do. Let's see what I have. And you all do the work to see what you could shake loose for me. So I really do appreciate it. And I also, you know, just to echo what the Sergeant Major said, I've been doing this for 22 years. And, you know, I've had battery commands. I've had a battalion command here at Fort Sill and now Brigade Command. I've never been this close to a peer group that I have with you all, and I love it. I brag about this peer group all the time to my soldiers and to my junior leaders, because this is what it should be. I think we are the example of just having each other's back, being good teammates, but also being like really good friends. We all live on post too, which makes it great because we can bounce around from house to house if we have to. You know, a quick example, you know, here being deployed, my husband was supporting our oldest son at an event, left our middle son, was an adult, with the youngest boy at home, and it was during the, it was during the flood, you know, that we had in Lawton, and I was reading about it in the news. And I sent you all a text. I'm like, hey, can someone go check on the boys for me? Rob is, you know, at Fort Leonard Wood. I'm over here. Just check to see how they're doing. And without hesitation, folks showed up, right? John Brock, his wife Kelly, showed up with a loaf of bread, you know, and so the boys were really happy because they got a friend and food.
Everybody loves loaves of bread. Everybody loves it. You know,
it was like freshly baked bread.
Yeah.
But I really loved that because I will tell you, you know, at no other point in my career did I have something like that. And so I really cherish what we have here, and it stinks I wasn't there to say goodbye to Steve Walker, but, you know, we'll welcome, you know, his replacement in, but I really love our group. But, you know, to your point, like, relationships matter. The closeness that you have with your peers matters. It gets lonely up at the top, but I will say that I haven't really felt that here with this group. So I, just to echo off the things that were already said, I really do appreciate you guys.
That's awesome, Lourdes. You know, we were talking. One, I gotta say, it's funny when you said you need some help. I was thinking about Reggie building the ark in his backyard as the floods were going
out. Yeah, that was beautiful.
Or really, his basement.
Yeah, really, the cardboard boat in his basement. Gosh, that was. I mean, it was sad and fun at the same time. Yeah, you know,
it's funny now.
Yeah, it's funny now. We're funny at the moment. Yeah. You know, Lourdes, last month we had a great opportunity to sit down with our really great Director of Plans, Training, Mobilization, you know, DPTMS folks. And I remember probably, you know, when y'all got the call and the balloon to go up, if you will, for y'all, I remember you sending me a note, hey, we're leaving, this is what we need. And it was really great. One, your team, the installation writ large, but our DPTMS and mobilization, everybody working together to figure out how to get y'all out in a fairly rapid time frame. And I think it worked out fairly well. Obviously, there's some hiccups along the way, but your team was really great and instrumental in making that happen. So it was really awesome, and I'm glad y'all are doing well over there, doing some great work and doing your job.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I do appreciate that. And to that, you know, it's, yeah, it goes back to the relationships, but also the communication piece too, being, you know, just some free chicken, being very clear with the things that you do need. Typically it's, you know, this is the capability that I require, and you let that person figure out how they're going to source it for you. And I've never had any issues with the folks there on Fort Sill with that. You know, our resources are fairly limited sometimes, but I've had multiple rapid deployments out of Fort Sill, and I've never had any issue with it because I just share the need. I'm very clear with what I require, as you should be when you're requesting something, and it just happens. It's like magic.
Oh, yeah. You know, especially with Jason, his team, right? You know, the SRP and soldier readiness packets,
yeah.
Whatever we're calling it, process.
Every day's a shift and just-in-time mission.
Just-in-time mission. Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. What about you, Reggie? What are your thoughts on, you know, how your training mission's going, what that looks like, you know, and, you know, what are your thoughts?
It's been a year.
Jason.
Yeah. Jason's the old man.
You're the old man of the group, bro.
Jason's the elder statesman.
The reflective type.
That's why you're sitting at, this is why you're sitting at the head of the table, Jason.
At the head of the table.
I am the senior commander.
He looks down upon all of us from OPQ.
From OPQ. Because it's not being like live recorded, he's sitting in a chair that's much higher than ours. Like,
yeah.
He's the king.
This is your chair.
I know. I wasn't going to say it, but okay. I've turned it over.
No, the training mission is going well. I think over the last year, we've grown a lot, like as an organization physically and as a team, virtually. So we've added 5 batteries.
Mm-hmm.
To our formation, which equals where we were processing about 17,000 trainees in a fiscal year, we're now processing 22,000. 500 is the planned effort for this year. I think it's been great. As we just finished the planning session with EFCO, how we identified how the installation came together to make that happen, because we did it. You know, with we're talking about resources at scale, minuscule, and then the orders process was still trying to catch up, I would say, to what the Army was asking us to do. But with that, like literally, it's not an exaggeration. With 2 pieces of paper, a few phone calls to you, phone calls to Mr. Sprague over at LRC, and then the G1 Sergeant Major, that group helped us build the formation. Which is essentially a battalion size element,
yeah.
Just like I said, off of 2 pieces of paper and the resources we had at hand. So like I said, I can't be more grateful. We talk about the resources, we talk about the relationships that we have, but the can-do attitude of the entirety of the staff and command teams at Fort Sill, I think, is unparalleled.
Yeah, you know, with the Fire Center of Excellence, with all the folks there, and, you know, what they do. Very complex organization. You got the Logistics Readiness Center, all that they do, again, for the support. You know, Sergeant Major and I, in Bill, you can jump any time, obviously, but we talk about this all the time as we're sitting here going, okay, so what's the next thing? Like, you know, we're always trying to look out 5-10 years, like all of us are like, how do we get this to the installation of the future? How do we do all these things? How do we support your growth? So we talk about initial military training growth, you know, whether it's basic combat training, advanced individual training. How do we support the hospital so they could support everybody else? Because that is also a thankless job.
Yeah.
You know,
what
do you mean the pharmacy's closed? I got to get my drugs.
I just got a text about that.
Yeah. No, I didn't even get to all the things Jason did.
I probably just got 10 ICE comments right
now. Yeah.
You know, and so we're always trying to, okay, so what, you know, all these things, you know, you could be maybe on the 2 line on the email, or like on the below the cut line on the email, be like, okay, how does this work for, like, we talk about this all the time, Lance, like when Lance and I, because, you know, Lance was Geo Batcher for a while, and so we're trying to figure out like how to solve the world's problems with a can of our favorite barley flavored water,
yeah.
And a cigar, so I'm trying to figure this out. So
well, going back to the relationship you're talking about, is a lot of, for me anyway, is a lot of the command teams on Fort Sill understand that we're not just Sergeant Major Pearson is just sitting on his hands in his office. So you understand that there's a lot of stuff going on the installation that I'm going to jump through hoops to try to help you guys. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things that people up higher didn't think about. Like, for instance, when they expanded Colonel White, we were going like, oh, man, he's going to need sheets and pillowcases that no one thought about for 5,000 more people. Yeah. And then it wasn't like he doesn't graduate these students and the soldiers and they just go away to different installations.
Yeah.
It's, hey, Colonel Thompson and Brock, all yours. So they're not going anywhere. So then it's, we're about to hit my nightmare here on Fort Sill, which is July, and the inevitable phone calls I'm going to get from 434 that HVACs are going to go
it's
down.
Coming. It's coming. You're right. You're good.
They're going to have 300 soldiers in a bay that's 84 degrees.
Knock on wood, right? Yeah.
Like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And the good thing is he knows he can just pick up the phone and call me, like, hey, man, I'm getting 80 degrees, and I'm going to have to start making my 30 phone calls to try to pump out some fitting somewhere to put on a chiller. That, like, I've learned more about HVAC and bugs since I've been here.
Right? Like, you learn more about, oh, I got to have a certain temperature for this vaccine versus that. Like, really? You know, or Lance, I need this versus that. You're like, oh, I got
it. And it continues for you through, really, the return post-holiday block leave.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, and so, you know, we're talking about growth. You know, and you'd asked me earlier. So last November, really from the end of October through December 15th, 428, the AIT battalion in particular, you know, with no structural growth, pumped out two FA brigades worth of 13 Mike 10s, rocket guys, 75 FDCs, full-up FDCs of 13 Juliet 10s. I describe these things because I tell my team, congratulations, you're out of COVID. And so what do I mean by that? So between, you know, FY20 mm-hmm. and through last year, the throughput in the brigade, in the AIT brigades in particular, you know, was really a 52% steady. And then last year, FY24, we were at 102 throughput percentage. And it's not like structure, commodities, enterprise, garrison, you know, we're able to necessarily see that happen. But really, overnight, within an FY, we went from 52% throughput to 102% throughput.
Yeah.
And most of those 10,000, you know, 13 series soldiers, not counting the officers, the warrant officers piece of it, and the functional courses that we run, those 10,000 10-level soldiers that we pushed through AIT, that was a 100% increase from where it was the year prior. So we talk about pillows, we talk about sheets, we talk about barrack spaces, mm-hmm. and all of those things. And so I give a lot of grace when it comes to the hospital, right? Because you know, our TOMS clinic is one of the greatest.
What's a TOMS clinic again?
Yeah, the Troop Medical Clinic. We'll just call it like an aid station for our AIT battalion. But those enablers are really what allow us. And we've been able to, we've stressed the system in a larger extent than we anticipated. Beyond we start talking about, you know, the current environment of the civilian structure. You know, so that we've lost some civilian structure in the hospital, right? And so we used to have 6 people that worked in the blood draw facility. Now we have 3 people that work in the blood draw facility. We used to have 15 people that worked in DHRM to produce orders for those soldiers. We're down to 8 or 9 on any given day, right? And we talk about we're out of COVID, and these are the leadership issues and the friction. And then you layer the operational force on top of it with Lourdes, mm-hmm. and, you know, and now Paul Ashley over in 75th, or my 761st EOD that had POTUS missions during an election cycle,
yeah.
right? And all those things layer on top and fall at the feet of you, us, we. Yeah. And so I joke about it. Our number one rule in the brigade is don't be an asshole,
yeah.
right? Just don't be an asshole. We're going to work through this and we'll figure it out. And so that's where we find ourselves.
Maybe that's the name of this podcast. At least this episode.
No. Yeah,
at least this episode. But, you know, like with Lourdes and her team, you know, and with, with, you know, Steve Walker, who just changed command today, so, and Paul Ashley, who's coming, a good friend of ours. But you look at, like, some of these things as we expand the use of our railhead and the railroad. Well, fun fact, our railroad is 100-something years old, 100, yeah. like 106 years old, mm-hmm. with different gauge lines across all, and you're just like I learned more about railroads and rail ties.
Yeah.
Rail ties. Yeah. If you haven't thought about a rail tie, don't. Unless you really have to, because you can get into the, when someone goes like, takes their glasses and pushes them up on the bridge of the nose and like, let me just talk about rail ties. Buzz Killington right there, man. It'll deep dive into some rail ties. But it's a fun chore when you get that phone call from somebody like, hey, we have to shut down the rail while you're deploying, Lourdes and Steve out almost near simultaneous. Like, oh my God.
But it's about the soldiers, right? Yeah. Sergeants and staff sergeants run my subordinate battalions, frankly, sergeants and staff sergeants.
And they should.
And Lourdes, it's about getting those leaders out where they need to go.
Yeah, and a point of friction, right? Yeah, that's really great. I tell you, when we talk relationships matter, what I thought was really great is when Jason, he's old hat, he's the little grizzled veteran in the room, and he's going to leave here in the middle of July, you see a smile on his face for the group out there. But I thought it was really good is we all like kind of explored each other's space. And by that, I mean like we toured each other's space. What are the things that we need to do to support each other to make this thing a reality and continue? Because when you said it, Lance, when the new Army structure came out, the updated one from last year, it was like, wow, we're growing, but the resources aren't there. And if they are, it's minuscule, like you said, Reggie. How do we do this? And then you feel like a punching bag at the end of the day when you're trying to figure it out, but it works. Yeah. It works because not just all of us in this room here, but like you said, Lance, everybody at Echelon trying to figure out how we do this. And so it's been a fun ride this past year. I've liked it. It's super energetic with
except for Jason. Hanging in there.
Why do I keep getting?
Oh my God!
What I really appreciate about this group, we've been talking about relationships and how we just make stuff happen. I think it's even deeper than that. Like because we don't just all say yes, right? Because then we'd kill people and burn them out to the end. And so what I really appreciate, and unfortunately I've had to do it too many times with all of you, is I just can't do this or I can't do X. Can we figure out something? And there's always been a spirit of trying to meet in the middle, and no one's really anchored to their position, which I will say was not the case when I first got here. And so, again, being able to have hard conversations with each other and still, like, respect each other and appreciate each other's professionalism, I think that's one of the pieces of the secret sauce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good point.
And for me, for being the garrison, it's... the command teams here are really good at understanding that there's another side of the story, and they wait to hear our other side of the story before just taking everything at face value.
For example, Sergeant Major?
I got lots of ones. I mean, perfect example was the washers and dryers
thing. Oh, yeah.
As I told Colonel Miami, hey, I can help you. I was all right, someone go talk to Sergeant Major Pearson. And what they said is, I need washers and dryers. I said, how many? A lot. I can't work with a lot. I need a specific number. So if you give me numbers, I can work with you. We make it happen. But you say, hey, I need a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
That's not always going to work. Or, for instance, recently someone needed signs hung up. They wanted hung up around the installation. And I said, hey, we can make it work. I'll talk to science people. We can make these signs happen. Or I'm going to send my guy down there. Well, the guy did go down there, but they say, hey, I need signs. This how much we love soldiers. They said, hey, I need signs. And the sign guy, what do you want him to say? Well, I don't know. Well, step one to wanting a sign. What do you want said sign to say? it's so serious. So,
oh my God!
The command teams are good to understand that. Hey, Sergeant Major, do we know why this isn't happening? And they'll wait to hear the other side of the story. Not take it, the ruinous empathy we talk about is not everything you hear the first time is the exact truth.
That is that's a term coined by. Soon to be retired Command Sergeant Major T.J. Baird. As we look at being empathetic is great, but letting someone lead you down the road to ruination is also equally bad.
And it's understanding that both sides have to understand that.
Yeah,
not all our people are batting 1,000. Like we know that. So it's understanding both ways.
Not everybody's a Hall of Famer, is what you're saying.
Yes.
What are you pointing at me? That's messed up. I mean,
you did point at Colonel White.
He did. Thank you. The hand jumper went left to right, which him to me.
Oh my gosh.
So, Lourdes, as we get off of this, how how horrible I am. How are you keeping your team motivated downrange? I tell you, I mean, it's high op tempo. Oh. So.
It is high op tempo. I will tell you that the mission that we're doing is very meaningful in the area that we're doing it. And so I will share that it's been easy to keep the folks, my soldiers and the team, motivated because they are bought into the mission. They know the value that they have here, and they know that they are defending millions of lives. Right. And we work very closely with our host nation counterparts here. And whenever there is an event, the gratitude that is extended to the entire team, the day after or the morning after the event is something that I've never experienced before in my career. And it extends all the way, you know, it's the brigade TAC that's here, and it goes all the way down to the batteries where the leadership, the host nation leadership shows up. At the gate, and they are just so thankful for what the unit is doing, what the units are doing for the country and for the family and friends. Like I said, I've never seen anything like it, and so for me it's been relatively easy because the soldiers that are here are so bought into the mission and they know the impact that they're having. So it's been really just so great to see. Traveling to the different sites because they're not all co-located, and having those conversations with the most junior soldier and just asking them what their experience is like, it's always, the response is always very, very positive. I haven't heard a negative response yet, and we've had some long days. We just had the 12-day war in this area, and it was pretty intense, and there were days of no sleep. There were days of very little sleep, and when you close your eyes, typically about 15, 30 minutes later, you're waking back up. And you did what you did because you knew how important it was to where we're at, and we all know the consequences of not doing what we are supposed to do. And I think that just has kept everyone really just motivated and on their toes, really. We prioritize ourselves and the care of each other. That is something that I've stressed to everyone that's here under this task force, is that you have to sleep because we need that mental sharpness. You have to eat because we need to make sure that you're not distracted by those hunger pains, because you never know when you're going to get the next event happening. And if you don't have time to work out, at least go walk somewhere, walk around your site, do something, to just help keep the energy going, but also to help kind of relieve some of that stress. And, for the most part, everyone has really listened to that guidance. And everyone looks out for each other too, which I just absolutely love, going down to, you know, the firing units, you know, looking at my brigade TAC, I'm in the talk. So I sit right next to my S3, and I sit right next to my Command Star Major and my DCO, and it's very tight quarters in there. So I hear all the conversations. Plus, I'm naturally a nosy person, so my ears are always turned on. And I hear those conversations where the soldiers are asking each other, "Hey, have you eaten yet? Hey, go eat. I got this. Have you been drinking water? I've noticed that you're pounding these monster energy drinks. What have you actually had water?" So Jason, you'll love that. So we're making sure that folks aren't destroying their organs. But they really, not only are they motivated, but they care a lot about each other too. And it's just so fantastic to see. We do have some senior leaders that are coming in and doing some visits. They're pumped about that because they're making time out of their schedule to come in and really shake their hands and thank them for the job that they're doing down here. And so it's been relatively easy to keep folks motivated because they're so bought in.
It's great when you can do your job, right? And soldiers want to do their job every day.
Yeah,
And they get, it's not just like pew 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 faking the funk. You're actually shooting stuff, and that's it's really cool when you can see that.
Yeah, Lourdes, I think you just named off every dimension of H2F. So
the senior guy.
I didn't want to say it.
Way to put it in action.
Yeah. Yes. You're welcome. You owe me 20.
All right. Or better yet, I think a bottle of bourbon, Jason.
I'll be glad to when you get home.
Yeah.
But the speaking of health and holistic fitness at H2F, that's one of the things we're looking at here, right, as an enterprise level thing here for all of us. And And it goes to show that it works when it's put in action appropriately, right? With Lourdes and her team. But yeah, I know you guys are working H2F stuff, right? Health, Physical, Fitness?
Yeah, so we're one of the few trade up organizations that have a H2F team. We have the director, we have some of their augmentees in, like the cognitive specialist, the registered dietitian, not nutritionist, as she keeps correcting me. and then we were still waiting on the strength coaches. I think the biggest thing, and our senior leader said it as well. I was talking to the new commandant yesterday as he was kind of doing one of the in-briefs, and we were talking about H2F, and he talked about how the strength coaches helped him with his form and different things, relieve back pain. And that's just a small example of how, you know, these additive personnel and capabilities to our formation are making us better. And so now everybody always focuses on the physical piece, though, right? But, I mean, like Lourdes just talked about, you know, the mental piece, the spiritual piece, the nutritional piece. Those are big parts that my formation is really learning to, and then the sleep, is really learning to wrap their arms around. And because drill sergeants, you know, their hours aren't normal hours, right? Most of them come in at 03, and they're out, if they're out, they don't have the duty that night, but like 2100, right? So maintaining the combat effectiveness of that formation is critical, and that's why I'm grateful to have these assets in the formation. As we learn more about how to take better care of ourselves, we learn how that we can better impact and execute the mission.
Yeah, because, you know, Sergeant Major Pearson and I are looking at, you know, how do we do an enterprise level health and holistic fitness facility, group, you know, you name it, consolidate, because, you know, the resources constrained. So we've been talking with the senior commander and Command Sergeant Major Sartain, and like, how do we do this? And, you know, and when we have a great location, we've articulated, I think, with a lot of the folks, at least on this side of the tracks, you're a little different, you're on the other side. But with your folks there, and, you know, ne'er the two shall meet, you know, because of regulations and all these things. But I think we're in a good spot. But, you know, you sleep, man. I remember, you know, growing up as a young kid, staying for 24 hours, doing whatever. The National Training Center. Who's gonna stay up the latest? You know, you know, we see it as OCs, right? Yeah. You can tell you, but someone's about to flop. They're like, all right, man, you got about 36 hours. When are you going to sleep? I'm good. Face plant to the map, you know, dip spit everywhere. You're that can't be good. You know, and so the sleep is probably one of the most important things that we in the Army are just terrible at, because we always want to get the mission done, rightfully so. But part of that mission is getting sleep.
Yeah. But talking about resources, right? You know, Fort Sill actually has really good resources and such that, you know, he's fielded the H2F, right? So, Lourdes, your H2F doesn't come for like till next year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so mine's maybe it'll show up in FY27, but that doesn't mean that we're not able to use 7TAC-22 and the H2F kind of structure. You know, so I take the HHB first sergeant. That's my H2F director. Right. You know, we build it out of the annual training guidance, and then we leverage the Grand Performance Enhancement Center. You know, Jason's nutrition. Like, we find the capabilities and we go where they are here within our footprint, because we know that those things are important. You know, and my chaplain is the garrison. You know, secondary. You know, spiritual fitness. You know, whatever within the CR2I or whatever, right? And so with all those things being said, just because you don't have the resources given to you in this package doesn't mean you can't attack the problems.
That's what I was going to point out. All H2F does, right, is package it nice and neat and stick it in the formation. Yeah. Now, a lot of these resources were already there, but they were disparate. And it was tough. Right? And it still is tough getting soldiers to go use it, right? Because we inform them, hey, we have the Army Wellness Center.
Army Forces Wellness Center.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the hospital has always had nutritionists, right? You know, there's always been a chaplain in a formation, right? And then, you know, for the longest time now, the Army has been focused, well, the last, like, decade or so,
on the mental and behavioral health of, you know, of the soldiers. And they have, you know, those people like our great Doc Escribano in the formation, right? But now, you know, ACLF just packages it, puts it there. So I think you're 100% right. You know, just because you don't have that package in your formation doesn't mean you can't still build the foundation of the program, right? And then make it easier. Because you have, we have a master fitness trainers now, H2FI.
Yeah.
You send people, not when available, funding available, send people to that training. Now you have your strength trainer type person in the formation, and they can start building and helping the team, you know, work on their physical readiness.
Yeah, it's, you know, I remember, gosh, you know, several years ago, you know, the Ready and Resilient campuses, right?
Yeah.
And this is like a natural evolution to the
right.
holistic fitness, where you start with, you know, the Army Wellness Center, and you've got the mental health folks, you got the, you know, you got all those, and now it's just that natural evolution to something where you, now you're including strength,
yeah.
nutrition, dietitian, all the things, and it's great. I mean, ideally, you put them all together because it's a one-stop shop.
Right.
But like you said, Lance, it may not happen, but it's there.
And for years, the Army Wellness Center has been the most underutilized.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Asset in the Army. And the biggest problem is people have used Army Wellness Center as a reactionary place to
yes.
go.
Yes.
Most soldiers yes. taped over, send them over to our room. When you can use it to enhance your performance
yes.
as well as to be preemptive. But for years, trying to get people to go in a wellness center prior to all those issues popping up, it's just been...
Don't fear to Bob Pod, Jason.
It's funny you say, because I think the Army Wellness Center was our second podcast, weren't they?
Yes.
Right?
It's our next one.
It's 8.
Oh, yeah, but, yeah, so, but I mean, I think the second podcast we did, we talked to the Army Wellness Center.
Yeah.
And then in July, you know, Sergeant Major and I monthly we do our health and holistic fitness challenges for the installation, which is really fun to do. But next month, instead of a physical workout, we're really looking at the assessment pieces. So we're going to do the Army Wellness Center as we kind of follow through. And I think it's a good thing to do annually personally. Just to see, we're not getting any younger, you know, to make sure things are all still good, you know. So what do you think, Jay?
So I think, you know, just listen to this conversation. I'm a big advocate of, you know, there's a lot we can do even when we don't have the package right now.
Right.
Yeah. And is what you just heard Colonel Costas gloat about with her soldiers is she's actually got her soldiers, which obviously are a captive audience, but she's got them talking to each other,
yeah.
right, on, hey, have you gotten sleep? Hey, what have you eaten today? Hey, put down the Rippets and go drink some water, right?
Did you say Rippets?
Yeah. And so again, I think...
I'm sorry. Tell me you went to YF without telling me you went to YF. I'm sorry. Okay, got it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It marks my age. Whatever they're drinking these days. But again, I think the big thing that we can be doing here is, again, with language, because words are magical and powerful, we can be setting the culture of, like, hey...
Right.
Every single day to our leaders and to our soldiers when we see them walking around. Hey, what did you have for lunch today? Hey, how much sleep did you get last night? You know, and it sounds kind of childish, but at least then they know that that's kind of the priority that we're thinking.
You change the language,
yes.
you will change culture.
You absolutely
right.
will.
Yeah, you know, that's something that we talk. And without a doubt, I would bet that the sergeant is the one that's leading that change
yeah.
in Lourdes's formation, just like in our formation.
Yeah.
You know, the best ideas didn't come from, you know, the battalion commanders or the brigade commanders. It's the Auftragstaktik, the mission command. This is where we want to be, and now go figure it out and do it. And the sergeant, understanding that language change,
yeah.
will appreciate that culture, and then work through getting those things accomplished. And that is humbling and beautiful to see it work.
It is.
Because the sergeant's
yeah.
going to take that soldier to the Grand Performance Enhancement Center, the Army Wellness Clinic. Yeah.
And it's good because you've got to have someone who drives that too, right? You know, it was a couple little stories here. Deployed, I remember as a battery commander, we would go out as first sergeant and I, and we would inspect coolers. And I say that because it's a desert. It's hot. You got your body armor on. It's even hotter. You're in it to win it for a long, long time throughout the day, and the sun just doesn't stop. But you know what you find in coolers? Rippets. You know, or the tiger or whatever, you know, and it's almost like, where's your water, sir? Well, you know, remember that when you dehydrated the other day, we had to pump you full of IV bags? Where's your Gatorade? It goes back to that.
Yeah, I'm fairly confident Sergeant Pearson in Fallujah had 3 mild heart attacks. Because he was on his 12th rippet when it was 110 degrees.
You come out pre-diabetic and stuff, right?
I'll be honest now, looking back.
Yeah, I mean, I had a buddy of mine who used to have this thing called the Taji Bomb. I was like, what's the Taji Bomb? He's like, yeah, I would go in the morning, you'd get like 2 cups of coffee, a Monster, and a rippet, and that was it. And that was his like morning drink. I'm like, how are you not dead? My heart would explode.
Sheer willpower.
But this is like all in one sitting. I was like, oh my God, man. So driving that change. And hopefully, Lourdes, your folks will continue to do that when they're back here. And you have to have that change agent, you know? So that's really cool.
I agree. And I will tell you that, you know, listening to the resources that we have on Fort Sill, but also the resources that the Army has provided for us and to us, I have found that it is really difficult to, you know, you could lead the horse to water, but actually making them drink is a whole nother thing. So I always invite those folks to the formation, and then from there have those appointments made to do the walkthrough and stuff like that. That's where I have found where it's been successful for me, just in my unit. But I also just tap into those hidden talents and skills that soldiers walk around with. I have soldiers that are CrossFit Level 2 certified. I have soldiers that are nutritionists. I have soldiers that in past lives were, I have a physical therapist. I have a spine surgeon who's deployed with me. He's a specialist, 92 Yankee. He was a spine surgeon in his country. I have all these different wonderful like skills and talents in this formation. And I always ask those questions, like, what else do you do? What else can you do? What are your interests? And you'll be surprised what comes out of that. And those are the ones that I find you will help, you know, a battle buddy who looks like they might need encouragement in the gym or encouragement with diet or fitness, something, you name it. It's those folks that have taken the time to study another discipline other than soldier and army and job. And, you know, there's something about having that peer pressure, right? Look, I got Reggie here.
Callback. It's at least 2 or 3 of those dimes out right now.
There's something sexy, you know, to say about that.
I need better friends.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, if someone's not going to, so we can't joke around, right? I love it.
But the point is sometimes it's you know that peer pressure and the positive peer pressure speaks volumes. It's harder to be corrected. It's harder to be checked when it's coming from a peer than from a leader. I will stand by that statement. I really do. When it's a battle buddy and a friend who's checking you, I think it stings a little bit more. But most importantly, when you have a partner going to the gym with you, when you have a partner, you know, making sure that you're putting down your 7th rippet or whatever it is that you're drinking, or when you have a partner just to like hang out with, you know, it makes, I truly do think it makes everything a lot better. Always just tapping into those resources that you have in your formation that are walking around in uniform just like we are. You know, they don't have that specialty and that additional skill identifier attached to their MOS, but they have done the things and they have that education because they've studied it.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, you know, we've, with all the brigade commanders and the command sergeant majors we have here, we probably have 200 plus years of experience, you know, because we're all old fuddy-duddies. And I'm really looking forward, you know, I want to say earlier, really late last year, Lance came with this really brilliant idea for all of us to write like a short paragraph on leadership or something we thought we'd want to give back as a mentor to a mentee. And so that is coming out soon.
It is. It's in editing.
Oh, yes. So I think y'all were brilliant. I wrote some dumb stuff, so, that's why mine's at the bottom of the page, so or in the middle. So you hide in the middle. I think Reggie's at the bottom. It's the last thing you read is always the best thing you read, right? You know, and Lord is at the top because that's always the best. The rest of us are in the middle, I think.
She did start off strong.
Yeah,
hers were pretty strong.
Yeah. I did write down, if you can't identify the asshole in the room, it's probably you. I did add that in there, I think. So that's that is a thing. So that might be the top of this podcast.
Well, Lourdes, I mean, listening to your story about downrange and thinking about what you wrote in the article, then you're the boiler, right? Because that's what you said your grandma asked you. Hey, you got to make sure you're taking care of yourself and you're eating and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, I am probably like the oldest person. I had a birthday out here too.
Oh, happy birthday.
That's right. 22, 23 years old, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
25.
No, so a strong 46, and I love all of those years because I've earned them.
Nice.
And so far this has been like, you know, I've really had just a wonderful life. So Reg, to your point, absolutely. So when we were, you know, putting this paper together, something that I shared with the group is that when I took battalion command, my grandparents came out for that ceremony. And, at the end of the ceremony, I went and I grabbed my grandmother's hand, my abuela, and she looked at me and she said, this looks like a lot. Make sure you eat, right? And it was, make sure you're eating, Mama. That's what she said. And so, to me, it was make sure that you're taking care of yourself, and that's what she meant. And that's important too. So making sure that you are taking care of yourself, that you're making sure that everyone is also taking care of each other. So yes, Reg, I am the abuela out here, and I'm always asking folks if they're sleeping, if they're eating, if they've called home. That's a whole other thing too. Mm-hmm. So I make sure I'm like, who did you call today? Did you call your mom? Did you call your dad? Did you call your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, wife, your kids? And a lot of times you'll see, you know, some of the soldiers standing outside to talk and they're on the phone with someone. And so I'm like peeking my little head in. I'm like, hi, who's this? I am that person, but I think it's spread, you know, and it needs to, right? Because what you don't want is someone out there kind of alone. And no one's really asking those questions for them. Yeah. Or those questions to them.
Sage wisdom. It's usually very simple. Yeah. Well done, Lourdes.
So that's what happens when you turn 46. You get a little bit more, you get wiser, and you get a seasoned, grizzled veteran again, right? You get
back feel so much wiser now that I'm 46.
I think I'm the old man in the group, personally, but...
Yes.
That was quick.
We had this discussion on a fishing boat last week.
Oh yeah. Hey, so for all of y'all, if you haven't done it, this is really for everybody out there. Keystone Lake and what's the other one? Sequoia Lake by Fort Gibson and near Tulsa. Paddlefish fishing.
Yeah.
Dude, that is one of the coolest things you can do while you're here. So we all leave, Sergeant Major and I went last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I got the small fish because, that's what was available at the time underneath the boat. But it's about as small as 50 pounds. I mean, Sergeant Major caught an 80-pounder.
Yeah.
Like, the biggest one. So, Sergeant Majors, I represented well.
Oh, you did. You did. But he for sure did. But it was a ton of fun. There was like five of us out there. But if you haven't had the opportunity, one, it's good eating. But two, it is just a blast. When you hook into one of those, you know it.
Yeah.
Because they will fight you up and down, and they do not want to come back in the boat. But... It was a ton of fun. So, yeah, go ahead and enjoy that. All right, y'all. Well, hey, I appreciate everybody's time. Lourdes, again, thank you very much. And stay on the line afterwards. We'll get you on the camera again so we get a really cool picture. For everybody, thanks, y'all. Reg, Jason, Lance, Lourdes, and, of course, the Command Sergeant Major Pearson. I will turn it over to you for the final comments.
Just hats off to everything that 31st Brigade is doing downrange. Just know that you left a great team back here that is holding it down. And just give a big high five to Tommy for me, because you have one of the best CSMs in the Army.
I do. Thank you. Thank you so much. I will.
All right, y'all. Thank y'all very much. And thanks for listening to the Frontier Banter Podcast.